will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. And but before we get to our next guest, my friend Erica Thomas, I do want to say... tons of texts, and we'll get into them in the second half of this hour. But somebody was saying what happened about the gambling is what the people wanted. We've gone through that. But I'll add this to the mix. I'm seeing this. So the other thing that's not going to make it, I mean, they have time to get something done on this gambling thing, but it doesn't look like it's happening. But also just saw this post up just a little before it went on the air. The ethics law, that we've had Representative Simpson on to talk about, the bill that would replace the Alabama ethics law is not happening. Dead for session. So sign a die without a ethics law update there. So there's an update on that as well. All right. Without further ado, you know her, you love her. The crowd goes wild. It's Erica Thomas, 1819 News. Hey, Erica.
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
It's good, man. It's a Wednesday. That's good. We're halfway through the week.
Yeah, that's a positive. I was telling you before we got on here, I got this new iPad I'm trying to figure out, and I've never been so frustrated and lost in all my life. So if anybody has any advice on how to not throw out a brand new iPad, I'm definitely willing. News at 1819news.com. Thanks.
There you go. Send that email in. And you know what? And then you can bounce them to me, because I was telling Eric off there too. I'm setting up my mother's, that I got her for Mother's Day iPad. And, hey, Mom, what's your login for? I don't know. So it's a challenge out there. Let's first of all, talk about the story. I don't know. You and I have talked about this about every week for the last month and change here. You said, headline, Mobile City Council narrows the scope of investigation into former police chief allegations. So what are we narrowing to?
Yeah, so this has been a hot topic for, you know, a month now. And so this is something that I've been covering very closely. So the question with this investigation is, what exactly are we going to investigate? What claims that crimes made are we going to look into? And who is going to do that investigation? And so that's what the council looked at yesterday. They wanted to know, you know, they wanted to make sure they agreed. They had the parameters set on exactly what they're going to look into. And so we're a little bit further down the road. We still don't know who is going to do the investigation. They're still in that process of trying to figure that out. But hopefully we'll know some more by next week on who they will choose to do that. They just have to make sure it's somebody that's going to be, you know, unbiased and somebody that doesn't have a dog in a fight, so to speak, as my dog is barking in the background.
Tell Ranger to be quiet. so you say here the categories will be investigated are the shot spotter, that first one. That one to me is pretty interesting since we're doing away with it, right? I mean,
you're doing away with shot spotter. So the investigation doesn't need to be, is shot spotter worth having? The investigation needs to be, how did ShotSpotter get started? How did we choose this, you know, and how did the contract come about? Because the impropriety that Prime claims isn't necessarily to do with whether it works or not. It doesn't work if you don't use it correctly anyways, so we know that. But the impropriety would be, you know, the financials involved and also the players involved.
Yeah, I think I think it's a healthy, the way I look at it, I'm not on the inside here, but it would be a healthy investigation to answer those questions or grievances out there. But even if it's not to hold anybody, you know, to blame anybody, it's a how did we do this, right? And how can we learn? I mean, in business or life, you do so, and then you go, okay, this thing happened, that didn't work. What takeaway, what note can I make on the back of the envelope here not to do that again? You know, and just learn from it.
Yes, definitely. I mean, and this is going to be part of that process of Mobile kind of rebuilding the public trust. So they have to be careful on the decisions they're making surrounding this council investigation.
Also, you point out here the Gulf Coast Technology Center. That, you know, it was like this. There are all these things orbiting around the question of you know, Chief Prine's dismissal. There's like the main question, then there's like you said, there's ShotSpotter, and then there's Gulf Coast Technology Center. I don't know, that was a lot of discussion early on, and then it kind of went away. What are they looking at here?
So with that center, this is a regional center. It's Mobile-based, but there's other agencies that are involved. And so the executive director of the public safety is the one that kind of is in charge of everything there, and he kind of coordinates things and communicates with other agencies. And so Mayor Sandy Stinson had previously said this is one of the things that Paul Prine was not happy with because he didn't have control over it. And so one of the allegations that Prine made was that there could be improprieties there with the leadership with that. So that's going to be something else they're going to look into.
All right. So, but still no word on who's going to be conducting this.
No, they're discussing people. They haven't even reached out to some of the people that they're considering yet. So they didn't want to say the names of the law firms or the investigative firms yesterday in public because they hadn't even reached out to them yet. So they don't want them to find out that they're being considered for this massive investigation, you know, from a public meeting or a news story. They want to reach out to them first. So they'll do that. They have a short list. And some of these people are in Alabama. There's one company that's out of Georgia. But they're North Alabama. They're not Mobile related companies, law firms.
Okay.
And so they want to get somebody that's had experience in this type of investigation before. I don't know why you would have experience investigating things like this, but because I've never heard of this type of investigation before. You know, usually if there's improprieties within an entity, they have internal investigations or the DA would just investigate it. You know, it wouldn't be like this independent private investigation that they're doing. So, but I'm sure they've found people that have similar experiences, similar investigations under their belt. And hopefully they can get someone that's going to be 100%, you know, looking from the outside in.
Yeah, we can hope it. If you're just joining us, talking to Erica Thomas from 1819 News. Also, speaking of city council, I guess it was the week before, a week ago Tuesday, that somebody started talking about Gaza during the city council meeting. And now you're reporting the discussion of Israel and money or police officers going to Israel came up at council. What's this all about?
Yes, there's rumors going around that the city of Mobile has sent money to Israel and that they sent some police officers there to train police officers in Israel and maybe some equipment. And these rumors are pretty rampant among some folks, like the Reverend Tony Allgood. He's a United Methodist pastor, but he's also a member of Alabama Poor People's Campaign. So he's kind of spoken out before as an activist type in the community, and so he addressed the council yesterday. They knew exactly who he was, and he asked about those rumors. And the city obviously denied having done that. They asked Mayor Stinson. He confirmed, like, no, that's not the thing. We're sister cities with Ariel Israel, and this is a longstanding agreement. But the only thing they offer is, you know, support, like prayers and things like that. They don't send money. The two cities exchange ideas for maybe growth ideas or things you can do for morale in your city. And if the mayor of that city comes to the United States, he's definitely going to come visit Mayor Stinson. You know, they have that type of relationship. And it's really just a way to connect with people. Yeah, worldwide.
And sister cities, that's a normal thing. I mean, multiple sister cities for any city out there. When I was reading through your report over at 1819 News, this quote here, Councilman Joel Dave said he'd heard rumors elsewhere. Dave said, Reverend Allgood's not the only person I've heard say the city's invested or given or something $2.8 million to Israel. You know, when rumors get started, it's interesting. Where the heck did $2.8 million come from? They're saying the no money, but why that specific number? I just, you know, if you want to deconstruct it, what story came out about $2.8 million that somebody grabbed? And, you know, I mean, it's a very specific number.
Yeah, it is. And I thought the same thing. I said, what in the world? You know, but I always think that. I know that there was a Mobile Chamber of Commerce grant that was worth $2.8 million that was in headlines recently. But I'm not sure if that's what they were looking at. There's just no way to know because it's simply not true. So
there you go. It is interesting when you get like conspiracies or rumors, they'll have like some specific in there. And then when you look at a lot of these, although some of them end up being real, but you look at a lot of them, they found something, you know, it's like somebody misheard something, and then they just go with it. And they say, yeah, no, there's a story that said it was 2 point, and it could be for something completely different. And
it's got to be the case. I'm sure there's something, but I searched, and I couldn't find anything specifically with $2.8 million, especially that's been done lately. But that's never been done with Ariel Israel, and so the important thing is to tell the truth, get the facts straight, and set the record straight.
Don't start all that old stuff where you have to get the facts straight. That would ruin the internet.
I know, it sure would. What would we do with our time?
Yeah, I don't know. Speaking of money here, and it's something you've talked about with us the whole way through this process, but I guess we're coming up on the sunsetting of the toll for Who the Toll Tolls, right? Coming up this month, no more tolls on the Beach Express toll bridge.
That's right. I went last night to, I visited the Baldwin County Commission and then the Orange Beach City Council. I actually went to that meeting last night and spoke with Mayor Kinnon about that. And I think that story will be coming out this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So it's very important for everyone to go to 1819news.com at 2 o'clock and read this story, because what Tony Kinnon says about not getting these tolls, he's fine with that. You know, $50 million, 1.5% of the budget. Not a huge deal for him, he said. But
they got a check, right? They did get a payout of this.
Well, they only got $3 million. And that's just going to go to make improvements to 161. But what the real concern is the plan, the LDOT plan, to make that toll bridge eventually northbound only.
Right.
So the only bridge into Orange Beach is going to be leaving it, basically, unless you're on the Perdido side. But, the new bridge that they're building is not far away. They're wanting to make that one the southbound one, but that's technically going into Gulf Shores. So, you know, I'm not so sure if Tony Kinnon is a fan of this plan, but I do know that he hasn't really had the discussions that he feels like need to be had before this is set in stone. And so at 2 o'clock, the news story and what he has to say is coming out. And he's very, you know, he always tells it like it is. So if you really want to know what's going on, ask Tony Kinnon.
There you go. And as we wrap up here, she would point out that we could talk about a little bit, or people want to go read the story. A nice write-up here about Baldwin County Commission and their honoring of Galen Gillikin. If you're a Delta fisherman or a fisherman in this area, you know that name. And this was something special done.
Yeah, I actually cried watching the video that they made. They just wanted people that weren't aware of who he was and what he did. They wanted everyone to be able to get like a full picture of the difference that he made in the angler world in Lower Alabama. And so they put this video together, and I actually got teary eyed and I just thought, I got to do a story on this. So yeah, that one's a good one to look out for. And the Baldwin County Commission, they honored him in several ways. So you can read that story to find out how.
Good stuff. And people want to email you with story ideas or what to do with your brand new iPad. Where do they do that?
You can email news at 1819news.com. You can also go to any of my stories and my email address. My personal email address is listed there.
Good stuff. Best of luck on the iPad, kid, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. There goes Erica Thomas, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, now 126, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Coming up Friday, we're at the Eco Wild event at the Convention Center. Starts on Friday. We talked to Stephen Potts about that yesterday. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Very cool event. Dan and Dalton have your hookup for tickets to the event. But I read that story about the ethics bill. After all that discussion of the ethics bill, we'll have the person who brought that, Representative Matt Simpson, join us to talk about that and more from this last session when he joins us on Friday, plus Dr. Sean Powers. Yeah, we're talking shacks, whatever they say. The great white thing. Not the first great white, you know, that we've even discussed on the show. But, yeah, we'll talk to Dr. Powers about that and a whole lot more coming up live from the Convention Center on Friday for Midday Mobile. All right, to the text line here, and a bunch of them. Let's work to get through these. Not work. It's my pleasure to get through them. Some of them. Ricky, I did see the stuff at the beginning of the show. Interesting, Ricky. But don't send me any more. let's see, Larry from Daphne said, "Hey, Sean, tell me what would stop a group of individuals who came up through the Scouts to start a new Boy Scouts Association with a slightly different name and a new logo with the original heart and intent at with full transparency and massive background checks on the adult male participants to protect young men participating?" I don't know. There are some other groups that I just don't have the name of it in front of me. I just was talking about it when I took my son and I went to C-Lab camp, the family C-Lab camp at the beginning of March, which is a really cool thing. Younger kids, you can go to the C-Lab camp, you stay overnight in the dorms at the C-Lab, which my son thought was cool. He's like, "Oh, it's dorms." I'm like, "Okay, son, one day you'll be sick of that." But I met a lady that was there with her son, and he was involved in that, one of the alternate groups out there. And I forget the name right now, but somebody will probably hit me up on the text line, or I'll Google it during the news. Let's see here. Jason said, "Did your guest say that Vivian Figures was against the bill? Very strange considering her own home was shot into several years ago." You're talking about the conversation I had with John Sharp about Representative Drummond's bill about shooting into occupied. I have to go back and hear that. I don't know if she was or not. And by the way, coming up next Tuesday, it'll be the second Tuesday of the month. That means Sheriff Paul Birch will be our guest. We'll talk to him about that. That was a bill that he was for. Very much so. Talked about it on the show and went up to Montgomery to address the legislators up there about it. All right. This is from Jerry in Fort Morgan. Said West Point is teaching the history of cross-dressing in the military. What? Really? And the Boy Scouts are changing their name. This place is going down fast. No. Okay, this may be the biggest story here. Jerry said, "And the new Swiss Army knife doesn't have a blade." Let that sink in. All right, we're going to investigate that story when we come back. mess with my scouts, mess with the Swiss Army knife.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday edition of the show. I'll say hello to my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, where it's been inventory, man. You've been bringing it from far and wide.
We have, Sean, and we've been busy. We've had a lot of customers. We've been steady all year. This is going to be a really good year, I think. We've got a lot of good inventory. We've got a little Ford Focus just came in. We've already sent it to the shop, had it inspected. Everything's good with it. Got three-quarter ton GMC with 2019 three-quarter ton diesel crew cab, four-wheel drive. It's got 130 on the miles, and that's pretty low for one of those trucks, if you know what I'm talking about. But we got a good selection of trucks in inventory. We've got a lot of small SUVs and cars. So now's the time to come see us finance. That's good. Buy Here, Pay Here program's doing really well. And just an opportunity for anybody that's looking for something to give us a chance to help them.
All right. Somebody hadn't been there before. Give them directions in the real world and online.
We're on Highway 90 at Plantation Road in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. You can go to the website. It's lcmmotorcars.com and check it out.
Good stuff, David. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Have a good day, bud.
All right, you too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Okay, so this is from Jerry. Jerry, thank you for the story. He had said something on the text line, and plenty of times there's things I miss, and I had missed this one. Should we read it from... What do you think, Jerry? I mean, there's a couple different places. There's an NPR version of the story. I'm looking at CBS version, an AOL.com version. Are they still there? Okay. Okay, let's go to the, let's do this. Let's go to the NPR version of the story. Hello, my name is Sullivan McQuarty. And whatever, you know, you have a, they, I wrote a, back when I used to write for Land Yap, I did a whole column on how I would never have had a chance on NPR anyways with just a, I have an ethnic name, but not ethnic enough or not weird enough to be there. You can be white as the dang snow. As long as you have some kind of crazy name, then you get on there. All right. So from NPR, the headline here, Swiss Army Knife Maker will offer bladeless products amid a rise in violence. The story from Joe Hernandez reporting. It says the maker of the Swiss Army knife says it plans to begin offering pocket tools that don't contain blades. Victorinox CEO Carl Elsner told Swiss news outlet Bleak last week that that rising violence in certain parts of the world has prompted multiple countries to crack down on what types of blades people can brandish in public, possibly making it harder for consumers to carry the company's iconic red multi-tools. He said in England or certain Asian countries, you're sometimes only allowed to carry a knife if you need it to go do your job or go outdoors. End quote, Elsner said in an interview translated from German. Went on to say, in the city, however, when you go to school, to the cinema, go shopping, carrying a pocket knife is severely restricted. Thank God I was lucky enough to win the genetic lottery and be born in the United States. And so here's the thing. So it sounds like, Jerry, they're moving to the market. I don't think they're not making their other ones, but they're trying to, you know, sell more knives, that kind of stuff. If you change, you know, offer a new product because it sells and it makes you more money for the company, I'm like, it's a good thing. But it is a statement, isn't it, Jerry, about the rest of the world? The CEO said that, back to the NPR story. The CEO said that that's caused the storied manufacturer to begin working on a new pocket tool products without blades. Okay. Victorinox said in this follow-up statement to NPR that the new bladeless offerings won't replace its current selection of Swiss Army knives, but rather would ensure that you are best prepared through smart and masterful solutions for any life situation. Who writes? Somebody there in the marketing department wrote, to ensure you're best prepared through smart and masterful solutions for any life situation. I can tell you what, I love Swiss Army knives, but there's a lot of life situations that there's not a tool on the Swiss Army knife to fix it. There's does a lot of things, but there's a lot of things in life that the Swiss Army knife cannot fix. By the way, it goes on the story. I think this is interesting. United Kingdom's Office on National Statistics said in a report there are around 50,500 offenses, quote, involving a sharp instrument, end quote, in England and Wales in the year ending March 2023. Just a decade earlier, there were about 28,900. You see this, not as completely analogous, but you see this story in places where they're like, well, they fixed it. They took away everybody's guns, so you don't have gun violence. You still got violence. The knifing people, clubbing them over the head. So just taking guns away in those countries doesn't take the violence away. But yes, yeah, so there you go. So they're messing with, they're adding a new Swiss Army knife. That's fine. Hopefully the company makes money, I guess. So yeah, Swiss Army knife without a blade, which is, you know what, Jerry? Actually, that's probably a beautiful gag gift. Let's buy some of those for your buddies that, like, you know, that aren't good with knife safety or have cut themselves or just a doofus. Be like, hey, man, here's for your birthday. Got you a knife. You, of course it doesn't have a blade on it because we don't think you need it. All right, back to the text here. So many, Mr. Doug said Amtrak platform rezoning. Government gave government permission to build a government structure. Well said, Mr. Doug. Let's see. Your friendly neighborhood banker said there's fundamental reasons girls and boys need their own spaces. It's perverts out there trying to change that. Yeah, well, and I think you're talking about the same thing I'm talking about, friendly neighborhood banker, what I talked about last hour. There is, and I don't know for girls, but ladies, y'all can chime in on this. But for boys, not just me, I think beyond just anecdotally for me, that you know, preteen and teenage boys are going to act, they have a better ability to learn and be part of a group when there's no girls present, because we're going to act a fool when there's girls present. That's a thing. To deny that, to say we're, you know, oh, well, it's 2024, Sean. People aren't, it's not that they're brutes. It's just there's a lot of peacocking and stuff that goes on when girls come into the mix, and that takes away from boys learning things in scouts that I think are very important. Like I said, the merit badge that doesn't exist is the most important one in scouts, and that's all the foundational principles you learn for life as you're learning orienteering, knots, archery, whatever, canoeing, getting merit badges, you're learning so much more. And if you're strutting around and peacocking, it takes away from that. And you build bonds with other boys at that point, too. Let's see. The texter said, I guess the next merit badge they'll have will be the rainbow badge. If they're saying they're combined, that's already happened. This, right, the gay scout leaders and gay scout. And I don't, like I said, I don't care who's gay or not gay. I just don't think it should be part of the, there shouldn't be straight sex discussion going on in scouts. How about just doing scout? There's plenty to do that doesn't have to do with grown-up fun time. There's plenty to do. The Dirt Digger said, Sean, camping as a Boy Scout was fun. The best was camping on the USS Alabama, the best event of the year. Yes. And I lamented that during COVID, because we had the Cub Scout troop, I was trying to make that happen for our Cub Scouts, but during COVID, they had it shut down on the battleship. Dirt Digger, that is a rite of passage. There's so many of us that were involved in Scouts that got that camp out on the Mighty A. I think back, and I would like to go personally apologize to our Scoutmaster, Assistant Scoutmaster, because we ran like scalded monkeys all over that boat all night, over the ship all night, screaming like, hey, if you yell real loud in this middle hallway, it'll echo. I mean, I remember that, and that's 45 years ago, something like that. Wow. IT Jesus said, I think all of these in current time make me a minority. Oh, okay, here we go. Said, IT Jesus says, I identify as a white heterosexual middle-aged male. Wonder how much that triggers the left. My names are Patriot and American Flag. I also bleed red, white, and blue. I think all these in this current time make me a minority, so I would like some extra stuff. You do wonder about that, right? That as demographics change and different groups will be minorities, will you be then disenfranchised? I don't know. Hopefully we get beyond that by then, but we'll see. Let's see. I don't know where that's coming from. Okay. If you don't want to throw it out, Just give it to me. Oh, you're talking about the, is that the knife here? Oh, also, too, yes. And Dan, thanks for reminding me. As I began the show talking about the nappy voting going on, the nappy vote over at votenappies.com and voting for the station and, you know, voting for my buddy John Young for best Mobilian and best police officer out there. Also, the official clothier of Midday Mobile, the crew at Nutria Rodeo, are in for best local merchandise company. So make sure, check out the clothier. Like, what is Alex Trebek, God rest his soul, used to have clothes by Mr. Guy. I have clothes by Nutria Rodeo, so vote for those folks. They're awesome. Let's see, Backstrap Stacker said Joe Pags was talking about the new Boy Scout group to hit the podcast on Spotify. I will check it out. Yeah, and the Trail Life, I think, is what, and Dalton and I were talking during the break. Trail Life is the one that when we were down at the C-Lab camp, this mother was telling me they were involved in Trail Life. And I said, you know, I'm stuck still. And I said, I appreciate what you're doing. I said, I'm stuck still on Scouts because I was a Scout and I have so much. The brand to me is a big deal. Okay, yeah, Supermom told me the same thing. It's Trail Life USA. T-Bone said the new Swiss Army knife was fabricated in response to the plague of knife crime. Guess I'll have to stab victims with the corkscrew. Yeah, that would be, you know, the probably takes you longer to get that corkscrew out, though. Or you could tweeze them, right? You know how you have the toothpick and the tweezers on the Swiss Army knife? You could just get little tweezers and say, I'm tweezing you. Stand still. I'm tweezing you. Is Cameron coming on today? No, Cameron is. So Cameron Smith, so Dave was asking, Cameron Smith is not coming on today. He had, he's doing something else media-wise, but he'll be back on next week. Or we'll just call him and harass him at home later. Will the Girl Scouts, Bob and Foley asking, will the Girl Scouts change their name? I do not know, Bob. I have not seen a story to talk about that. I think this will be the undoing of the Girl Scouts. I think the Girl Scouts will be gone not too long after this. Let's see. Matt says, as I tell and have told my three boys at our home, this is a man factory. My job is to turn you into good men. Boy Scouts used to be the same thing. It did. It was a great man factory. You're right. It was of great value. Like I said, you had the merit badge, you had the sash with the sash on with the merit badges, but in reality, in getting those merit badges, you learn lessons that stick with you for a long time. Derek, which knife do you have? He said, the toothpick is the size of my thumb. What toothpick are you? No, it's a little toothpick on the Swiss Army knife. It's a little one. And then you have on the other side, depends on the knife, you have the little tweezers, right? I remember when I got for Christmas one year, what was like the giant one, right? The Swiss Army knife that is probably, I don't know, like a half inch in width or more with like every tool possible. Still have that sequestered away at the house. I might get a look at that tonight. Good stuff. All right. And then Pat says, all I got to say is them boys better bake some damn good cookies because I don't know what we'd do without Girl Scout cookies. Right, good point. Get to baking some Samoas, right? Be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
One, 152 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. 343-0106, 343-0106 on the text line or the good old-fashioned telephone call. Here, text line still popping. Let me get through these. Okay. Chris at Orange Beach said, hey, today when you tie a square knot, do you still say in your mind right over left, left over right? Now that you said it, I'll probably say it again, but it's muscle memory, right? Absolutely. Tying different knots. And I've had a hard time like trying to teach my son. I just do it. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, just watch me. I just do it. It's, you know, you get these, you've tied a knot so many times. You've almost just, not almost, you don't think about how you tie it. You just do it. Fred says Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts are separate entities and will not merge. Right. Well, but this Scouting America thing has boys and girls in. What I'm thinking is, what's the? I think Girl Scouts are going to have trouble recruiting, right? I think it's going to be, and hopefully it continues, but I don't know. I don't think so. Let's see here. Alex and Fairhope said the Boy Scouts were better when they were what they were originally designed for. Here we go. This is what the Russians used to say about us too, right? Alex, I remember hearing this. It kind of being puffed up and proud as a Boy Scout. What Alex writes here is what they originally designed for, a paramilitary organization that trained fighting age males in the U.S. to protect the homeland in the event of a war with the Soviet Union, because the majority of the nation's men would be deployed. I remember hearing that growing, and I thought it was kind of cool, actually, when I was a kid, like, that's what Lord Mountbatten wanted for us. But you know what? We learned a lot of great things. A lot of great things back then. And I just think this is, it's already been troublesome, right? It's already been bad for Scouts, for Boy Scouts going forward. And I don't think this does any good going forward. All right. So we'll come back to that. I did want to say this. As I read that story from NPR about the Swiss Army knives, they have a poll up over at MyNBC15 at WPMI, and this comes from it's not them there, it's their national, like the corporate thing, has a story up. Dalton, why didn't we ever think about putting such a nobody locally did this, their company did this nationally, but this tough question here. You can go on their website and vote. Do you think NPR's news coverage is one-sided? I know it's going to be I can't wait to see the results on that. Actually, you know what? Who knows? It'll probably end up being like 50-50 or something like that. Do you think NPR's news coverage is one-sided? I remember explaining that to my daughter one time. And there's a lot of NPR shows that I've enjoyed over the years. Big fan. I mean, like I said, when we talk about what people get away with out there, and I remind folks that Garrison Keillor got Me Too'd and got kicked out of, the world of public radio. But there's a lot of shows over there that I like. But I remember explaining to one of my children one time about the fact that our tax dollars, they said, wait a second, Dad, they don't have to do what you do. Their tax dollars go into paying for. Yeah, I said, yeah. So I pay taxes to the people I compete against. They said, that doesn't seem fair. I'm like, that is correct. That's correct. Let's see this texter on Thursday or Saturday. Okay, this is good. So Jay and Daphne. Okay, thanks, Jay. Could we talk about fishing from kayaks in the Delta launch sites and what's biting? Yeah, we can do that. Let me work that in on Saturday. I'll put a note to myself and work that in on the outdoor show Saturday, which is funny, by the way, So make sure to tune in, Jay, because if I do ask this, it's always fun because my friend Mike Ward that I host the show with, he's like, yeah, like whenever we talk about kayaks, I love kayaks. Love, going and floating the Escatapa in kayaks or going fishing. I love kayaks. And Mike's like, yeah, you can get a motor for this. And he's like, I just want to go paddling. He said, why? You can get an engine for it. You can put the trolling motor on there. I said, I know, but I enjoy paddling the kayak. And he just looks at me. Kind of the blank stare, like, but yeah, but why? He's like, could you put it? I'm like, yeah, but I like it. So, but yeah, well, Jay, appreciate that question. We'll try to get in that conversation. There are, the launch wise, we are in such a better place when it comes to kayak launches out there, whether both sides. I know Mobile County a lot better than Baldwin County, but there are places for kayak access that is really, really improved to go launch out there. And what a thing to be. If you get a kayak, right? And a shout out to Yellowhammer Kayaks, local kayak company. If you can get a kayak, we have so much to do here, right? I mean, all you have to have is that kayak, a little bit of get up and go, and you can get out and enjoy stuff, whether you're going fishing or just touring around. It is a great thing. And the nice thing about it is, as a guy that has lots of, I got a fiberglass and a boat thing. I got many boats and I like boats. Nice thing about the kayak is you finish with it and you roll it over there, and when you go to get it back out, it's still working. Everything's working and just fine on it. That is a positive thing. All right, Paul Feinbaum show on the way in just minutes. Once again, the reminder, we're on the road on Friday, Eco Wild. Speaking of kayaking, there'll be a lot of kayaking stuff going on at the Eco Wild event. That is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Convention Center. It's going to be a lot of fun. Go look at the website. You see more info there. Dan and Dalton have tickets for you tomorrow morning to win to it, but hopefully you come out and see me with Midday Mobile live from there on Friday. All right, Paul Feinbaum next. I will talk to y'all tomorrow.